T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Brawling Sports, who makes the gloves, sends out a tweet. Check out Manny Machado's gloves for this season, exclamation point. Where do you think he is going to play this season? Is the black and white a sign? ? Hashtag Team Rawlings. And they are White Sox colors, black and white gloves.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening! Everybody stay calm!
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm!
Wow.
And BetOnline just released that Manny Machado, the favorite, he's a minus 150 favorite to sign with the White Sox.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow. 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 Wow.
But I mean, those are White Sox colors. Well,
fellas, the Yankees also have black and white colors.
Pinstripes are blue.
It's, well.
I have light gray, medium gray, dark gray.
You do?
My bad. I'm colorblind.
Judd Surratt is our guest.
Before we get started, I'm just curious. Danny, do you like Blackhawks blue or Bruins blue better?
Oh, that's a great question.
Am I going to have to get you a color wheel?
Yeah. Let's. That might be helpful, yeah.
That suit is black, not. This suit is not black.
No, no, not has to be the end.
Okay.
Okay.
This suit is black, not.
Color. The Yankees also have black and white.
Wrong. Wrong.
Yo!
Sounds like, who do you love?
Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
I'll remember that one for a while.
The scene from Borat could not have been. He couldn't have found anything more appropriate than that yesterday.
Perfect.
With Black Notch. Yes, I do that movie's trivia for 500 points. Give me the name of Borat's humor coach in that film.
No shot.
No shot. He doesn't say his name. It just appears on the screen on graphic.
Yeah, I
Pat Haggerty is his humor.
Yeah, coach. I watched it last night and did I don't
you,
remember.
Is it, oh, really?
You watched
multiple? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's
Pat Haggerty.
That's a deep
cut.
He was
great. That guy was great, though.
Every time it's on HBO and the movie channels, I'll put it on and then I get pushback from the wife.
Yeah, it's a guy thing.
We
Sherry wants nothing to do with it.
We disagree with
it. Yeah.
Him.
Can you imagine Bruno? If,
yeah, Bruno not as funny. Just as outlandish,
no,
but not as funny.
It wasn't as funny. It had some redeeming. It had some good squirmy moments, too.
Yeah, Bruno as a character on the Ali G show worked. That was a good character, but
yes.
Stretched over a two-hour movie.
Correct.
Not so much.
That is
those themes, yeah.
Why would they make a joke about my mother-in-law?
I don't know why Borat.
Sexy time. You had sex with your mother-in-law? What?
It's confusing. Oh, God. This hour on The Score brought to you by Family Hyundai. By the way, I did not even ask you, how are you down? You were at the Muskie show last night. You said the speech went well. But we had Judd Surratt on yesterday. Hawks lose to the Bruins after getting up 1-0.
Yeah, some of the air leaves the balloon when
you
get a humbling like that. It was a good start for the Hawks. They drew first blood, and then the remaining 15 minutes of the first period were played. And it was ugly.
Squandered the 5-on-3.
Yeah, their power play, not good last night. They couldn't get the puck through to the net. Honestly, truth, I only saw the first period this morning and maybe 7-8 minutes of the second period before I split for work. And it wasn't good. And Judd Surratt told us yesterday, the Bruins' problem has not been in their own end. They haven't been scoring. And they put 6 on, and the Hawks have struggled defensively. So I thought, okay, there's a good item to watch for. And you see it. The Hawks' power play, which was 0-for-2, Sunday against the Red Wings, struggled again last night, and the Bruins defend their own end very, very well. Nothing gets through to the net. Tuukka Rask could take a break during Hawks power plays. Not all of them, but the first couple I saw, it's like they're not getting anything to the net, so it wasn't a good night for the Hawks, but I didn't expect them to win 10 in a row or 12 in a row. It'd be nice, but that was their first big test since they beat the Capitals on Championship Sunday at the United Center, and they failed it.
Well,
I'm not, you know, I don't, you know, for those of us who believed in their chance to get the eighth seed, it's no cause to jump off a building today because they lost to the Bruins. They got some help around the league. Here's the rub. The West sucks.
Yep.
If that's why I wanted that bet on them at 45-1 to win the West, because if they can ascend to the eighth seed and get that last wild card spot, they can win the West. Hockey's the only one of the majors that affords you that. Well, I suppose NFL does too.
But baseball, we've seen wild card teams win the World Series.
Hockey is so random. You can be a bad team and get to the Cup Final, but you can't be a bad team and get to the Cup Final playing bad during the playoffs. You got to just get there. Seen it happen a bunch of times. It's going to happen again. I don't know if it'll be with this group, but bottom line is Dan Bowman has put them in a position to be good again sooner than we thought he was going to. The trade he made with Arizona looks spectacular. Brandon Saad seems to be breaking out of his funk. And now that I have more of an understanding about it, after listening to a veteran scribe like Mark Lazarus discuss it, I don't get that, not being able to get it up every night to play. That wasn't the guy who was here 4 years ago, but that's the guy he's developed into because he has amazing speed and he's got very good skills, and you'd like to see him play more consistently, but they have some good young players. Offensively, Erik Gustafsson is a very good defenseman. Defensively, he has a long way to go.
Let's circle back to the story of the day. Cubs TV is official. It's been reported on. It's been speculated. Bruce Levine's been out front on that story. The news of the day, they will be using Sinclair, the Sinclair Media Group, for their distribution of the network. Sinclair is controversial because of its extreme right-leaning propaganda and perception in terms of enforcing on some of its local news stations and its news outlets a script for all of the news anchors that they had to read. I've been told that there will be no input in terms of content. The Cubs will control all content, not just with pregame, postgame, and game broadcasts, but also in terms of who they sell advertising to, infomercials, partnerships, or anything like that. It will be a distribution platform. Now, of course, that will make money for Sinclair, and so if you disagree with Sinclair's politics and you've got a problem with that, welcome to the life of a conflicted sports fan in 2019. That's just the reality of it. I am of the belief that having two local media providers for sports in this town makes us pretty special. There's New York that has MSG and the Yes Network, mm-hmm. and that's it. The yep. vast majority have one. I think more competition leads to more jobs, which leads to more local content, and ultimately it will be a good thing. And the thing that for right now, there's this blip of this story of who is providing the carriage in terms of like who's distributing it, Sinclair. This time next year, if Xfinity, RSN, Dish, DirecTV, if they haven't all picked it up and had all of those cable or satellite bills raised $5, $6, $7 a month, whatever their asking price is going to be, there could be a segment of Chicago and Cubs Nation that doesn't get to watch yep. Cubs games.
If the provider feels there'll be too much backlash, but people, before you have that backlash, you're already paying for sports, and you probably don't think about it much because you've been doing it for a while, because Comcast Sportsnet / NBC Sports Chicago, for whatever it's been over the years, you've paid for that subscription. It's on a tier for which you have paid. So this is nothing new, and it's not going to be extraordinary. Those tiers are usually $10 a month. So that's no reason to be alarmed on that. And I'm excited about it. You're right. It creates jobs. Hopefully it gets some people paid what they are worth being paid, who are at NBC Sports, who's gotten away with paying people under market value, in my opinion. Studio hosts who do a decent job. Analysts who do a real good job. The Blackhawks, the Bulls crews have been terrific. I don't feel the same way about the Cubs, you know, post-game stuff, but for the most part, they've done a really nice job. Now comes somebody along the way who maybe could swipe some of that talent, and that makes the market better for everybody, for you as a viewer. And I'm tired of some of the garbage programming I get on NBC. They concede so much of their broadcast day and not care. The rebroadcast of games are good. I'm all for that. But there is never a reason to do, during the week, coaches' shows. It's questionable to do them local, but I'll grant you that. If you want to do the local shows, Illinois football, Northwestern hoops, fine. But when we're watching out-of-market coaches' shows.
Iowa State coaches' shows.
You know, Missouri Valley Conference volleyball. What are you freaking doing? What are you know what you're doing? You're going on the cheap, and you're giving us a stinky product, and Corky can't have a stinky product.
Yeah, you're playing for zero ratings.
Right, you don't care.
Because it's cheap content, and hopefully this competition will bring out the most in both networks. I do think that both will be viable. I don't know what they're going to do at Marquee. That's what they're calling it, the Marquee Network. To program, I'd imagine that there will be opportunities to simulcast radio shows.
Jason Marquis going to get a show.
That would be there. You could make the Ryan Dempster comedy variety hour that he's pitching to Paul Sullivan.
He's trying.
I'm sure there will be rebroadcasts of games. I would imagine there will be some sort of sports talk live equivalent. This town doesn't have a PTI-style debate show.
Yeah, some things that are long overdue may get programmed.
Yeah.
About time.
It would be great.
And there are some people with opinions who would be good on the air who aren't working right now.
Agreed completely. This is the number three sports market in the country, and it will definitely be good for the sports media world. There will be jobs, there will be opportunities, and there will be...
on the air, behind the scenes, directors, camera people, techies.
Producers, booking agents, all that sort of thing. So it's going to be a good thing overall. Once it gets on the air, I am hopeful that they get it on the air, because it will be an uncomfortable story of the 2020 baseball season if one of the major Chicagoland providers says, no, too many people, too many customers don't watch Cubs games. And they don't want their cable bill to go up $6 a month, so they're going to cord cut. That would not have been a problem 20 years ago. Cord cutting is so viable now with Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV, web streams, app-based programming.
Right, it's a la carte.
And the a la carte option, that it's a real legitimate concern. And if you think I'm crazy, look to L.A. They signed the biggest local television contract any sports team in any league has ever signed. And about 50% of the L.A. market can't watch L.A. Dodgers games. Now, here,
if 50% of the people couldn't get it, they would be furious with their cable providers. I would think a lot of them would be.
Absolutely. I do, too. But is that enough to make them change it? Because what the Cubs are basically making a value judgment on is they're saying, we don't want to split the revenue anymore. We don't want to share the revenue with the Sox and the Hawks and the Bulls, who they were partnered with at NBC Chicago.
So they shouldn't.
Right, because they're the biggest draw.
Yep.
And so, but what they're making the judgment is that even if they're only on in 80% of the homes, that 100% of the revenue going to them in a smaller grouping is better than a portion of the revenue going to them in all homes. And we'll see. We'll see if they're right. There's no guarantee that this is going to work. I expect it to work because it's the most valuable sports property in this city by far.
If you're a sports fan and you're opposed to this, I just think you need to further investigate what you're mad at, because you're getting mad for no reason. And if you want Cubs games, don't call your cable provider and tell them, I won't pay it. I like the Cubs, but I don't want to pay this. You're already paying for Cubs games.
Of course.
You're already doing it.
Of course. Some were on over-the-air free TV with ABC7 or WGN.
I still haven't gotten used to that either.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, so that will go away. And that will affect some people. But in 2019, that group of people is just simply not large enough for them to not do this. It's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And the baseball side of it, is this will make them more money, and then them making more money, because you get to keep your local media deals, that is in-house, that is not a part of revenue sharing. That's where the big competitive imbalance right now exists in baseball. The Yankees print money. Everyone always says that, but do they know where it comes from? The YES Network. The Dodgers, they print money. Everyone always says it. Where does it come from? That, whatever it was, 20-year, $8 billion television contract that they signed. So that's why the Dodgers and the Yankees have more money than everybody else, because they've got a better local television contract than everyone else. The Cubs are making a huge bet.
Yeah.
They're a little late to the party because they're signing this deal in a post-cord-cutting, post-Netflix world, so they will not make the Dodger money and the Yankee money, but they're still betting that they'll make way more than they did with NBC Chicago.
They'll do better than they have been doing in 2, 3, 4 years at the most down the road. You'd be able to say, all right, we can afford Dallas Keuchel this offseason because we're not sure about our aging left-handers, and we better have some insurance, so now we're going to hire a seventh potential starting pitcher.
Correct. And by the way, we're getting the texts. I understand people.
Yeah, he would hammer it if they were from the left, too, he said earlier.
It's not the equivalent, isn't MSNBC or CNN. That is not the equivalent of Sinclair. I know you think that that is not true. Just Google Sinclair Media Group script. It's out there. It's readily available for anyone to read if they want to. It's different. It's not even the same as Fox News. It is a totally different thing that I'm talking about. So it's just different. They own the Tennis Channel. They own ABC affiliates, CBS affiliates, Fox affiliates, NBC affiliates. They are a media group. CNN is a channel.
I didn't MSNBC even know is until a channel. Earlier there was a Tennis Channel.
Well, I understand.
Wow.
But I'm telling you.
Boy, that they got to talk about lining up to hear something, in this case, watch something? The Tennis Channel? Are you serious?
That's why there's 600 channels, man.
Oh,
it's niche programming.
Tennis worked when there weren't 500 options. Tennis worked in the 70s and early 80s before we had options. I don't know. Does anybody your age, do you know, watch, talk about tennis anymore?
Bet you they line up to hear this one.
The guy that I've told you about who's the best sports gambler I know makes a killing in tennis.
Okay.
He's an investor,
right?
Yeah.
He probably has to get his thought
together, he can handicap it.
You know anybody who watches it, Chip?
No.
No.
I never... been interesting at all to me.
Yeah, when there were three network options, Channel 9, Channel 32, and another fuzzy UHF station when I was growing up, we had no choice but to watch, you know, Jimmy Connors. Nothing else was on. Of course we watched it then.
Sure.
What are you doing this
Pick
afternoon?
Up a book.
It's raining. Yeah, well, I did, Chip. But you're getting together on a weekend with your buddies and it's raining out. What are you going to do? We're going to watch tennis because, you know, John McEnroe may erupt. Thank God the kids today don't have to do that or play running bases.
Running bases was fun. I don't know why you knock running bases.
I like that game.
Because when I was a kid, I was slow and fat.
I liked it too.
Three against one, running bases.
Maybe we should team up on you, Mac.
Millennials.
Running bases, 2019 edition.
I've played my last game of running bases. I hated it when I could play it.
We called it pickle or rundown. Never heard it running bases besides you.
Okay. Yeah.
I had it all.
You had it all?
Yeah, I'll
say running bases.
Yeah, running bases.
I think we're all begging to blow out a knee playing running bases these days. That's the ideal game for blowing your knee out.
Basketball, not going to happen. The reason this left knee rings every time I go through the things at the United Center was a basketball injury, playing a sport I don't even enjoy.
Yeah, I have less than no interest in running anywhere. Bases.
Right, cross the street.
Yeah.
Okay, CTA bus, hit me. I ain't running.
I'm not in any sort of rush. Entertainment came into the world of sports today, and something near and dear to my heart is actually going to happen. We'll get into it coming up on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
But Chiefs fans, we know pain. I see Andrew Luck is here. Hey, Andrew. Hey, man, remember when you recovered your own fumble in the end zone and you beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? Me too. So does my son, because he cried himself to sleep that night. A way to go on your award tonight.
Paul Rudd at the NFL Media Awards, bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season for matchups with Minnesota and Ohio State. Purchase tickets at NU.com.
The adorable Paul Rudd, and he talked about these guys too, Rush. He was in love with Rush in the movie I Love You, Man. He had a chance to spend some time. He was a guest on Good Morning Football today, so I stayed with it. I have taken it off season record. I'm ready to be done with it and put it away unless there's news, but I was curious what they were talking about today, and they teased Paul Rudd stopping by. He is a fan of the show. Kyle Brandt established a trust. Rudd is Kyle is now in the circle of trust because Paul Rudd was promoting nothing. He just wanted to be on the show for an hour. And as it's,
that's awesome.
Yeah, no kidding. Right. Good for Kyle. Good for all of them. It's great. It's fun. I was afraid the way it was starting, and I should have known better, knowing how much pop culture both Brandt and Schrager consume and how Rudd is just so wheelhouse for guys their age. But it starts by talking about, you know, who's your favorite chief of all time, and when you think about the, you know, regression for Mahomes next year and those sort of things. But it wasn't long, and they got into telling stories about the movie business, and I enjoyed hearing him talk about a few scenes from Anchorman. He was asked some of the more memorable and sometimes challenging scenes from film, he recalls, and he had three good stories.
Anchorman. And all right. Will Ferrell has a way of doing this, too. When he started doing, because not a lot of it isn't scripted.
Yeah.
When he said, you kept your head on a swivel, and that's what you got to do when you're in the middle of a vicious cockfight. I remember we stood there. And we, what did he just say? And then, and that's, you know, it's really hard. You don't want to laugh because you don't want to ruin a tape.
Yeah.
But there were several, Carell and I standing off to the side, as soon as he said milk was a bad choice, we walked on, I was like, what the hell?
So damn hot.
Oh, so damn hot. Yeah. And there are several, several instances. The hardest we laughed,
yeah,
I think, was a scene that was never in the movie,
okay,
which we couldn't get through the entire night. And it was when the four newsmen, the four news anchors, were sitting around, and plotting against Veronica,
right,
Corningstone.
Sure. Yep.
And Will says, all right, so it's settled. We're going to get Corningstone. And we're all eating in the commissary. And Ron Burgundy says, by the way, Brick, what is that you're eating? And Brick says, oh, it's one of those delicious falafel hot dogs with cinnamon and bacon on top. And Will says, what do you mean, what of those? Those don't exist. That's a used coffee filter with cigarette butts. And he cuts to it, and that's exactly what it is. And he says, well, I got it out of the tray at the end of the lunch line. He said, that's not a tray, that's a garbage can. And he goes, oh, but he starts eating it anyway. And it was so disgusting that we couldn't get through it. And every time we do the whole scene,
oh,
and then there's a break, and every time Will would say, so it's settled, we're getting corny. By the way, Brick, and then I was there, everyone was out. Couldn't even get past by the way.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. Those don't exist.
You mean one of those. Those don't exist.
Oh my, I don't know how we're going to get through the rest of the show.
I know.
Crying, laughing.
It was fun stuff. If you like Paul Rudd, search it, and you'll find it.
That's great.
I thought it was terrific. Just a couple of guys hanging out talking about movies.
That I've listened to long form interviews with Will Ferrell and Adam McKay about the making of Anchorman, and just the number of lines that were improvised and how much freedom they had,
mm-hmm,
is just, it's a crazy accomplishment when you think about how quotable that movie is. Like, that's a true skill of improv. Then, you know, you hear about some movies and it's, you stick to the script and you trust the writers and
right,
it's what's on the page. And that can be great too. And then you have some stuff where it's like, we just got a concept.
Yeah.
We want you guys to go have an Anchorman fight and we'll see what happens. We'll roll for the day.
Let me give you a little wrinkle, writers.
Yeah.
You know, guys who had a preconceived notion as to what this should be, we're going to put our spin on it and see, do with it what you want.
Yeah, Bill Murray famously, obviously, in Caddyshack, almost all of the lines of Carl Spackler,
mm-hmm,
totally improvised, mm-hmm, by Murray on the spot.
I was thinking about Anchorman after driving in today, relevant to the conversation we had the Friday before the Super Bowl with Luke Wilson. Mm-hmm. And when you asked him about movies that wouldn't be made today, and several scenes in Anchorman came to mind that likely wouldn't get through today, even though it was set in 1973 when sexual harassment was allowable, basically. You probably couldn't do that movie today, could you?
See,
could you have Champ putting his hands all over the news anchor? Is it?
See, if
not enough people think that's funny anymore because of Me Too, and maybe we shouldn't.
Well, right. See, now that's a different question. If people think it's funny anymore, as opposed to could you make it? Because I do think that is where that's kind of the, I don't want to say loophole, but for lack of a better term, like that's the loophole of, like, you could say, well, it's a period piece. This is how people talked in fill in the blank era.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like that's how you get away with offensive language, and it's not an excuse to use the language, and it's an excuse, hopefully, to artistically explain how people talked in that era.
Right, but those who oppose that will say we got to stop making it look funny. That's
right.
That's the blowback you'd have from that. It's not funny. It's never been funny. It's not funny now. And I understand why people would be upset. I'm not among them because I've not been harassed.
Well, sure. It's a place of privilege to acknowledge that it's easy for you to laugh at or water off a duck's back or whatever.
Right.
And it doesn't sting you as much as it stings the person who is being made fun of or ostracized or minimized or anything like that. And it's something that I can't listen to an interview with a comedian, stand-up, actor, director, because that's like my go-to in the podcast world, whether it be Simmons or Mark Maron or Stern, or like my favorite thing are the long-form stuff with people in entertainment and pop culture telling stories like that. And it's something that they're all dealing with right now and figuring out, isn't comedy supposed to be about pushing the envelope, making you uncomfortable, and you sign up for it. There's that. You're paying money to go see a movie. You're subscribing to Netflix to watch entertainment. You're paying your two drink minimum to go into the Comedy Cellar. And if you want to walk out because you're offended by a comedian, that's your right. No problem. But it's a comedian. It's comedy. And I absolutely believe that right now we're in a place of hypersensitivity and awareness, which is good. It is progress. Tolerance is good. But in the scope of comedy, I absolutely don't think I don't think that there is something that should be off limits. A great comedian can make a lot of things funny.
Did you see the Louis C.K. stand-up he did in suburban, somewhere on the outskirts of Phoenix?
The one that leaked?
A half a dozen years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If it's a Louis C.K. special, I've seen it.
Yeah, it was. I think it was on HBO.
Oh My God special?
I think that was it, yeah, where he worked a stage that was in
the round?
Round. Yes,
yeah.
Yes. The but maybe section of
that
act.
Yeah, of course.
Act.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I was, as much as I wanted to walk out of the room when he got to his final item, I couldn't. He had me, and he even acknowledged those who were squirming about it, and he said, no, you were with me 8 minutes ago on Dead Children. You're with me on this.
That is a brilliantly crafted bit that, because of the toxicity around Louis C.K. right now, he personally, since he's shown no real remorse for his actions, would not get the benefit of the doubt on. But Dave Chappelle would. Like, I absolutely believe that brilliant comedians can still push the limit in the world of comedy. Like, what happened with that Louis C.K. leaked bit recently? That wasn't finalized material. That was a guy working out bits. Now, would I choose to mock the kids of the Parkland shooting? No. I personally can't find any humor in it. But those Louis C.K. jokes before were about dead kids and peanut allergies being fatal, and people have told 9/11 jokes before and Holocaust jokes before and all sorts of horrible, abhorrent things.
Yeah.
And the great comedians can figure out ways to make a comment. And by the way, it's also a product of your era, right? Eddie Murphy was the biggest star in the world in the early 80s.
That's correct.
And some of those bits, if you watch them in 2019, they're not funny because you can't even put yourself into a headspace of being able to say all of those derogatory terms about homosexuals back to back to back and all of the falsehoods about homosexuals that were widely viewed beliefs at that time. So part of it is the era of which you're making comedy. And right now, it's we have a market correction going on, which is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's long overdue. But people say, oh, it's gonna ruin comedy forever. I don't believe that. Like I believe that the art will always adapt.
Just by way of texting us, if you're not driving, it's not where I'd love to check the temperature of the listeners on this. A bit that I had rejected today, and I accepted majority opinion on it. Should I tell about it? The Kenny Hubbs plane crash.
I mean, I don't know if we have time, but you feel free. Feel free.
Former Cubs second baseman Kenny Hubbs died in a plane crash on this day many years ago. Some thought he was going to be Ryne Sandberg before Ryne Sandberg, but he never got that chance. He was very young when his plane went down. Glenn Becker ensued in the years afterward. And so, you know, it's been a long time. What do they say? Tragedy plus time equals comedy. They say, you know, Tanny's this Mr. Sound guy. The ancestors of Tanny had the plane bugged, and we have sound. We're reporting this for the first time, sound from the plane in which Kenny Hubbs went down.
Yeah.
And Tanny can weave together beautifully, as no one else can, a few scenes from movies. And I was going to give a prize to the listener who could identify the three movie scenes we chose.
Correct.
And Shep, as a good executive producer does checkpoints. Is that a good idea? Three people died in a plane crash today. And I'm wondering, and I'm glad he said that, but at what point then is nothing fair game? That's my fear. You know, alcohol jokes. People have been making alcohol jokes since comedy was born. Alcohol is one of the biggest social problems in this country.
Yes.
And we still use it as a punchline.
There are things where we don't necessarily get to make the rules, right? Like, fat jokes seem to still be in play. Like, the weight of a man is something that seems like an area that you can go against, but if it leads to heart disease or diabetes and early death, it's not funny to the person who suffers from it. But in the world of comedy, that seems to be a safe space that people can continuously attack, right?
Right, right.
And so there are...
Boy, are you fat.
Right. Thank you. Well-timed. See, that's why Tanny's the best. That bit today, the upside didn't feel worth the risk of the downside. And is that operating by fear? Maybe. Is that operating in the current climate of our times? Probably. Is that a bad thing? We'll see. I don't know. Like I think what's happening right now is a market correction that in some ways was long overdue in terms of you shouldn't punch down. You should be sensitive to people who have been ostracized and picked on and bullied for a long time. And making jokes about the transsexual community when their suicide rates are through the roof is like, that's cheap. That's a cheap laugh that you're picking on a less than 1% of the population for the laughs of the masses. And be better than that. Be smarter than that. And so I'm not as uncomfortable with the current conversation around it, A, because I'm not a comedian, but B, because I don't think it'll last forever. Like I think we'll figure it out. But in a direct answer to your question, the upside didn't feel as high as the downside potentially.
Okay.
Felt.
I just wanted to hear three really good movie sound bites weaved
I get it.
Brilliantly together. Yeah. I had two of the three, you know, already suggested he'd do what he wants, but I had
a third, but from the beginning, I mean, in my mind, you're immediately like, okay, I know the third one already, but I'd rather not have my name attached to that.
Okay.
Especially once you rephrase it the way you just did my ancestors. Yeah. I'm glad we didn't do that.
Yes.
But if you're wondering, it's the scene from the movie, The Gray with Liam Neeson, the plane crash in the opening scene of that. It's really loud. And it's one of the scariest things I've ever seen in a movie.
Still need to see the conclusion of that. I left the theater not knowing what happened when they rolled credits, right? I missed out on the ending.
That's right. Yeah, it's been a while. But yeah,
I need to see it again. Chilling film, literally and figuratively.
We are way late to transition Lawrence Holmes. He's on before Bulls and Grizzlies. I just checked Ticketmaster. You can get in for $25. Lawrence joins us next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What a hope! I hear the people talk.
We'll transition with Lawrence Holmes. We're already late. I apologize for
that. Sorry, Lawrence.
No, you guys are having a good conversation. I heard it out in the hallway. So I'm all... You don't have to, like, if you're having good stuff, like, don't worry about me.
Do you feel disenfranchised with this, the way everything is put in boxes and we're sort of living in a shell of a radio station physically? I don't know where anything I own is.
It's weird, and Herbie and I were talking about it yesterday because it was really hot. I'm like, why is it so hot? And Herbie's like, because the airwaves have been, they've been cut off. You got two new doors that you're, like, in a sweat box now. So it's a little disconcerting. It feels radio dystopian in a way where you're walking in and you're like, do we still work here? Is this still a radio station?
Yeah.
Are these things on?
Right. Is anyone listening?
July 1st. What do you think? Over under when it's all done.
This is now like the movement that's happened here is a little faster than I expected it. They took them a while to get to this point.
Right.
Like, it's laughable how long it took them to get to here. I think that I'll go over, but barely.
Barely. So you think so? Okay.
Flag Day.
Flag Day. Okay.
Is that July still?
Do you guys consider that a holiday?
No.
Anybody
no.
consider Flag Day a holiday?
I'm surprised at all the holidays we're getting off. I didn't know that we got President's Day off.
We're working.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be here too on Monday.
Yeah, I'm working.
I'm going to bank that one for the warmer weather.
Yeah. I've got to burn some vacation before the...
Yes.
Sure.
Burn every minute of it.
I mean, it's part of your compensation. You shouldn't leave anything on the table.
Yeah.
So I'm going to... It happens to me every year. Like, it sneaks up and I'll be like, wait, I have how many days left?
Every year. Me too.
But I've been here 20 years, so there's like a lot of days that have accumulated. And
I don't have that issue.
I guess 21, technically, in May.
21 years in May.
If I...
You know. Yeah, of course. Mac,
if I'm here,
Mac, solicit Dan Landers emails.
Yeah. Reach out to me in social media. I'm on Twitter at DannyMac670. You youngsters may not remember advice columnist Ann Landers, but you may have heard about her. Send me your personal problems on Twitter. I'll put something out later tonight or on Facebook if you're a Facebook friend. And tomorrow we will kick around, your personal issues. We get the best three or four, and we'll debate it.
Was it her and her sister? Am I
It was. It was her and her sister, yes. Who had the fallings out?
Right.
Yeah, they hated each other. But she was doling out advice for years, making a lot of money doing it. So if she can do it, why not have a two-time rehab loser do it?
You'd be surprised how many people would like your advice on some of these things.
So get at Mac on social media. Yeah. We will pick the best ones tomorrow.
Dear Mackie, I'm way too fat. I've lost my gumption. My love life is flat.
Beautiful. Dan Landers at 3 tomorrow. What do you got before Bulls Grizzlies, Lawrence?
I'm going to try and walk people through the Sinclair deal with the Cubs. I'm going to talk about Manny Machado not being a White Sox.
Yet.
And yet, comma, yet, dot, dot, dot. And then maybe throw in a little bit of football, too. I think people are going to be very happy where some of the Bears ended up on Pro Football Focus's top 20.
Lovely. Nick Shepkowski, our executive producer, great job. Thank you to John Morosi. He was our only guest today. Chris Tannehill, fantastic work as always. Lawrence Holmes is coming up next. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. That makes us McNeil and Parkins. That makes this The Score.
Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.